Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
Rev up your thrills this summer at Cedar Point on the all-new Top Thrill 2. Drive the sky on the world's tallest and fastest triple-launch vertical speedway. And it's your last chance to get more fun for less with our limited-time bundle for just $49.99. Get admission, parking, and all-day drinks for one low price. But you better hurry, because this limited-time bundle ends June 30th. Save now at cedarpoint.com.
If you love college sports and you like to have a little action on the games, then this is the place for you, because I'm your host, Stephen Gorgi, and I love both of those things too. You can find me on social media, Twitter, Instagram, TikTok, all at the same handle, at Gorgon Sports. I'd love for you to be a part of the show, so hit me up there. Also, a reminder, when I'm not recording the show, I'm still posting my college basketball picks on Twitter, at Gorgon Sports. So make sure you give me a follow there to stay up to date with my latest picks. We have less than a week remaining in the college basketball season, so there's a lot going on, a lot of big games, a lot of conference championships on the line, seeding on the line, bubble implications for the games this week, a really fun week ahead, a really big week ahead. But I wanted to start today's show with a little bit of a bigger picture topic that's going on in the online college basketball discourse. So Mike Mulvihill, who's an executive with Fox Sports, tweeted out earlier today that some numbers regarding women's college basketball versus men's college basketball on Fox. He tweets that women's college basketball is averaging 981,000 viewers on Fox compared to 946,000 for men's basketball on Fox. Women's basketball is up 48% on Fox this season and up plus 60% across all national networks. So no surprise, women's college basketball has had a fantastic season. There's a lot going on in the sport. Caitlin Clark breaking all sorts of records, putting on a show every night. She returns after the fantastic year she had last year, which really captured the nation's attention. You also had LSU returning as the defending national champions. They bring back Angel Reese, and they had that classic national championship game a season ago. You also have South Carolina, who basically never loses, having a fantastic season. So there's a lot of really interesting things going on in the sport of women's college basketball. Now, Dan Wolkin, who is a national columnist for USA Today, he covers college football and college basketball. He's been around forever, has opinions on everything that you would expect in college football and college basketball as a national columnist. And he tweets out, quote, "Men's college basketball is a very flat, relatively unappealing product right now. Coaching legends are gone or diminished. No star players breaking through," end quote. And this is a sentiment that I have heard a ton this season as it relates to men's college basketball, that there is nothing appealing about it going on. It's just a flat product. It's not interesting to watch, especially in comparison to the women's college basketball game. And I'm not here to compare men's college basketball to women's college basketball and why one is seemingly more appealing than the other right now. What I actually would prefer to do is compare men's college basketball to college football. Because I think right now in men's college basketball, there's a lot of great storylines, actually. Dalton Knecht at Tennessee is a National Player of the Year candidate. And this is a guy who started at junior college, then was at Northern Colorado, and now he's likely the SEC Player of the Year in contention for National Player of the Year and could be part of the team that gets Tennessee over the hump, finally to a Final Four, finally to a national championship. This is a team and a program that has been so close to taking that next step so many times under Rick Barnes, a guy who has been around and coaching college basketball at the highest level for a long, long time. He's coached Clemson. He's coached Texas. He's coached Tennessee. He's been all over the place. And Dalton Knecht, I'm looking at the Tyler Colic injury right now, which we'll get to a little bit later. Dalton Knecht could be the reason that they get over the hump. What an unreal story that is. I think that's one of the most interesting stories I can ever remember in the history of college basketball. But I get it. You might say, okay, Dalton Knecht came out of nowhere. That's not what drives viewership. You need continuity. In this day and age of the transfer portal, it's hard for average fans, your casual fans who don't switch over to college basketball until college ball and the NFL are over, to really connect to somebody like Dalton Knecht because they're hearing of him for the first time in the middle of January, early in February. You need continuity to capture their attention. So to that I say, you have UConn, a school that is, if not a blue blood, damn close to being a blue blood, going for back-to-back national championships. And not only that, they have a bombastic coach who gets in fights with opposing fans. He acts like a maniac on the sidelines. You talk about something compelling. You talk about needing heroes and villains. Dan Hurley and UConn, I think, are about as good of a possible villain that we could have in college basketball. I mean, you talk about the all-time villain in college basketball, and it's Duke, right? It's always been Duke. As long as I can remember, Duke is the villain, and either love Duke or hate Duke. Well, the Hurleys have an association with Duke. The Hurley name is associated with Duke. No, not Dan Hurley himself, but his brother Bob Hurley is very closely associated with Duke. And then you have the way that Dan Hurley acts on the sidelines, and then you have the fact that he's building a dynasty at UConn. I think there's a lot of continuity right there where you have something to grab onto and either say, hey, I love this Dan Hurley guy, I love this UConn program, or you say, I hate Dan Hurley, I hate this UConn program. I think there's a ton there. And then you want to talk about continuity. Well, you have the National Player of the Year, Zach Edey, a guy who's 7'4", who puts up monster numbers night in and night out. He's going to average over 20 points and 15 rebounds for the second consecutive year, coming back to school as the reigning National Player of the Year. And not only that, his team, Purdue, was a number one seed last year, gets upset in the first round by a 16 seed. They come back, they have this incredible regular season, and they're going to have to go and get it done in March. And they're trying to get over the hump. Matt Painter is a coach who's become among the best in college basketball. He is trying to get over the hump, and he is trying to get a program in a basketball-obsessed state in Indiana over the hump to a Final Four, to a national championship. I think those are all incredibly compelling storylines. So why aren't we talking about it? why aren't casual fans captivated by these storylines? Why does it feel like there's no star power in men's college basketball? Like it's lost a lot of its luster. That's the big question for me. And it comes down to me how these sports have been marketed over the years. And when I say these sports, I mean men's college basketball compared to college football. And the main difference that I see is that college football is able to stand on its own without the NFL. If the NFL did not play a season, if there was a labor dispute, there was a lockout, there was a strike, whatever it may be, whatever the case was, if the NFL missed an entire season, it would not impact college football in any way, shape, or form. In fact, I think it might even help college football because college football is a completely standalone sport. It's a completely standalone entity. There are people that are diehard college football fans that are only casual NFL fans. They might live and die with an SEC team and check in on the Falcons or the Saints or the Panthers or the Bucks, Dolphins maybe, occasionally. Same thing in the Midwest, although the Midwest certainly more NFL focused with the tradition and the history of the teams in the NFC North, like the Bears and the Packers, the Steelers. But there are plenty of Big Ten fans who might live and die with their Big Ten team and casually check in on the NFL. They are two completely standalone entities, and they're marketed that way. College football is marketed with the coaches, with the rivalries, with the passion of the fan bases in mind. That's how it's sold. It's not sold as, hey, come watch the next great superstar. And that's how college basketball has been sold for as long as I can remember. You know, you hear people talk about in the national sports media landscape, people who are not following this stuff day in and day out like I am here, like so many others are, like you are out there if you're listening to this podcast. And they talk about, well, there's no Zion Williamson. Well, why does there need to be a Zion Williamson in order for there to be interest in college basketball? And it's because of the way the sport has been marketed. All that stuff that exists around college football, the passion of the fan bases, the legendary coaches. Now, there has been a lot of turnover in that regard recently with Coach K retiring, with Roy Williams retiring, Jim Boeheim retiring. All that still existed, though, in the last couple of years. The quest for a national title, who can get over the hump, who's emerging, who's rising, and who's falling in the sport. All of that exists. All of these incredible game day atmospheres exist. These rivalries exist. We had Duke and North Carolina playing a Final Four just a couple years ago. It doesn't get any bigger than that as far as rivalries are concerned, but it's not marketed in the same way for whatever reason. It's always been about, hey, where does this guy stand? Where does this star player stand when it comes to where he's going to be taken in June in the NBA draft? And I think it kind of relates to the way the NBA is marketed as well. The NBA has always been a star-driven league. It's been more, and you've seen it in recent years, about stars than about teams. And you've even seen it with the way that the sport is consumed, where you talk to people, you see them on the internet, you talk to them out at a bar where they say, I'm not a Lakers fan, or I wasn't a Lakers fan. I'm a LeBron fan. And I was a LeBron fan when he was in Cleveland, and then in Miami, and then back to Cleveland, and now in LA. And that's very, very different than the way that NFL fans consume that league, than the way that college football fans consume that league. And I would certainly say that the way college basketball fans consume the sport of college basketball. But I think the way the NBA is marketed means that college basketball ends up being marketed in much the same way, where it needs to be star driven. And it's all about what are they going to do at the next level? Come see the next great phenom. Because so much of when you hear people talk about the kind of glory days of college basketball, they'll harken back to the days of Zion Williamson. And when people were locked into that Duke North Carolina game where he blew out his shoe. And to me, Zion Williamson was a fantastic college player. It was a ton of fun to watch him play. But that Duke team did not accomplish nearly as much as other Duke teams have. To me, what makes college basketball special is exactly what makes college football special. And I just can't figure out why it's not being treated as such, why it's not being marketed as such. And you see it in the women's game too, because the women's game has monster stars. They have monster stars in Caitlin Clark and Angel Reese. They have a monster coaching star in Dawn Staley at South Carolina. And for whatever reason, the sport of basketball seems to only be marketed based on stars, based on star players and star coaches, and not with that same team aspect in mind that football is marketed with. And I can't for the life of me figure out why. Because again, I think there are fantastic storylines when it comes to college basketball this season. Now, Dalton Knecht, that story, I love that story. And he is a guy who is going to be a first round draft pick, most likely. But Zach Edey, you know, 20 years ago, he's hands down the number one pick in the NBA draft. He doesn't quite fit the same profile right now because he's not an outside threat. He can't really play on the perimeter. He's 7'4 and really effective at what he does, but doesn't necessarily fit the modern day NBA in the same way he would have 20 years ago. But to me, that's okay. That's completely okay. You look back in college football history, you know, Troy Smith at Ohio State, he was never destined to be an NFL star. But that didn't take anything away from what Troy Smith was able to accomplish at Ohio State. I don't ever remember Troy Smith, people talking about like, oh, there's nothing going on in college football in 2006 because Troy Smith won the Heisman Trophy that season. I don't ever remember that once. It doesn't need to translate to the next level for it to be interesting now. But I think that's the problem that college basketball is running into, that so much of the way it's always been marketed is based on come see this next phenom who's going to then play 15, 20 years in the NBA. And I think there's so much more to the sport than that. And this will go back to what I go back to so often, the need for a centralized figure who is in charge of these college sports. Because I think if you had somebody out there who really had the best interest of the sport in mind, they could sell these stories. They could sell these stories to all the network partners. They could sell this emerging UConn dynasty with this guy, Dan Hurley, who Dan Hurley could spend the next 30 years. He's not an old man by any means. Dan Hurley is 51 years old. Dan Hurley could spend another 25 years at UConn and become the modern day Roy Williams, Mike Krzyzewski, Jim Boeheim. He could end up being the next iteration of those guys. I think that's compelling. I haven't even talked about one of my favorite storylines of this season is Houston's quest to win a national championship. Houston moving up a level from the AAC to the Big 12, the best league in all of college basketball. And they're on the verge of winning the regular season championship in that league and being a number one seed. They're about to go on a journey to see if they can win a national championship. And they're led by a guy in Jamal Shedd, who you want to talk about, you know, the old days of college basketball when players were around for 4 years and they didn't transfer and fans could get to know them. Jamal Shedd is in his fourth year at Houston. Jamal Shedd has been through it all as a Houston Cougar. Jamal Shedd's been to a Final Four with Houston. Jamal Shedd's been to an Elite Eight, a Sweet 16. He's been on a number one seeded team. Jamal Shedd is a guy that college basketball fans should be latching onto. No, by the way, he's one of the best players in the country. He is the best perimeter defender in the country. He's the heart and soul of that team. That's a compelling storyline. It doesn't always have to translate at the next level for it to matter now. It doesn't matter in college football when you have a quarterback, a running back, a wide receiver who may not be a star at the next level, but they're leading their team to team accolades during the year, where they have their team in contention to win conference titles, to win national championships. That's what matters when we talk about college football. Nobody spends October in college football talking about, where is he going to go in the NFL draft? Certainly, you'll get it from time to time, especially when you have a guy like Caleb Williams, who looks like he's going to be one of the next great quarterbacks in the NFL, the surefire number one pick. You know, it's a talking point, certainly, but it's not the main talking point. And for as long as I can remember, the way the sport of college basketball has been sold, that is the main talking point. The main talking point is, come watch this phenom. Come see this guy who's next. Where is he going to go in the NBA draft? And what's his 15, 20-year NBA career going to look like when he's done here? It's come watch him now and say you saw him first. And I don't think that's how hardcore college basketball fans view the game. In fact, I know they don't, because I know a lot of hardcore college basketball fans. If you're listening to this, you're probably a hardcore college basketball fan. So that would be my plea to whoever, and say it time and time again, there's nobody looking out for the best interest of the sport right now, but for the people who are looking out for the best interest of their conference, for their TV network, sell college basketball more like college football, and I guarantee you'll see better results than you are right now. Let's dive in to the midweek slate in college basketball. We got a big Tuesday and Wednesday night on tap here as we wind down the regular season. And starting tonight, Tuesday night, a couple of big-time matchups. The headliner to me is number 3 Purdue taking on number 12 Illinois in Champaign. The Boilermakers have a 2-game lead on the Illini in the Big Ten standings with 2 to go. A Purdue win tonight will wrap up the outright Big Ten regular season title for the Boilermakers, but of course they have bigger things on their mind, and it's proving they can do it in March. However, this is an important first step. Purdue has all but locked up a number one seed in the NCAA tournament, but they gotta finish the drill. They gotta finish up this season on a strong note and keep that momentum going into the NCAA tournament, because there is going to be so much pressure on this Boilermaker team come March. They've got to figure out a way to stay loose and to take the way that they have played during the regular season and translate it to the tournament. And the last thing they want to do is go into the tournament with any sort of doubt in their mind. So they have a big one in Champaign tonight. And these two teams played earlier in the season. Purdue came away with a 5-point win at home. Now, the big difference between this game and that game is in that first meeting, Terrence Shannon, Illinois' star wing, was suspended during that time period. He did not play in that game. He was charged with rape stemming from a September incident in Kansas, and he was suspended by Illinois, a federal judge later in January, reinstated Shannon to the team, and he has been playing for the Illini ever since. a preliminary hearing in the criminal rape case against Shannon will take place on May 10th. Shannon will continue to play seemingly throughout the rest of the season with the Illini. So Shannon back in the lineup for this game. That's the kind of the difference when you're looking back at their first meeting versus the meeting tonight, is the fact that he will be on the court for this one. As far as what to expect in this one, Illinois has really been on a tear offensively as of late. They really get up and down the court. They play fast. They have not been held under 80 points since January 27th, and that was a win, a 70-62 win over Indiana. But you just look at their point totals since that game: 87, 87, 80, 97, 85, 89, 95, 105, and 91. This is a game with a very high point total. It's a total of 163.5 points. Illinois, a 1.5 point favorite in this one. In that last meeting, Zach Edey did get in foul trouble. He only played, I believe it was 23 or so minutes in that game. So that's something to watch out for in this one. No pick in this game, but certainly one I will be watching very closely. I have a vested interest in this game, as I did bet Purdue before the season to win the Big Ten regular season title, plus 220, one unit on that one. So that certainly have a vested interest in that, as Purdue will win the Big Ten regular season title outright if they win this game tonight. They already have a share of it locked up, but a win tonight will give them the outright regular season title. The next big game on the slate for me is number 16, Alabama, going to Gainesville to play the Florida Gators. Florida is a 1-point favorite in this one, and the total in this game is 176.5 points, a monster total. And it should come as no surprise, because these are two teams that fly up and down the court. They are two teams that put up big time points. You look at Alabama, they have the number one adjusted offensive efficiency in the country, and they are one of the fastest tempo teams in the country. Same thing with Florida. Florida, number 15 in adjusted offensive efficiency per KenPom, number 33 in adjusted tempo. Alabama, number 13 in adjusted tempo. These two teams fly. These two teams can put up points. And earlier this year, they did just that in Tuscaloosa when they met. They played an 81 possession, 98-93 overtime game just a few weeks ago. Alabama came away with the win in that one. The thing that stood out to me about that game, looking back at it, is 42 of Alabama's 52 two-point attempts were at the rim, and they shot 57% on those attempts at the rim. They're bigs. Bama's bigs, Grant Nelson and Nick Pringle, went 14 of 24 from inside the arc for Bama the last time. So that's the key for me in this game, is can Florida limit those paint touches for Alabama's bigs, and can they protect the rim? Florida has a very good shot blocker in their seven-footer, Micah Hanlogton. He is a big-time shot blocker. He's a rim protector. He put up some blocks last time, but can they do a better job this time around of keeping them out of the paint and protecting the rim? Because Florida got a lot of shots at the rim in that one. I think that was the difference in that game. I do expect them to do a better job there, and I am going to take Florida on the money line, minus 125 to win this game. I think it's going to be a high flying game. I think it's going to be up and down, but I like the spot for Florida with Alabama coming off a crushing loss. Alabama loses to Tennessee at home over the weekend. They get swept by Tennessee. They're now a game behind them in the SEC standings. And that game, I think, effectively cost them a shot at an SEC regular season title, because even if they tie Tennessee, they will lose out on the number one seed in the SEC tournament because Tennessee swept them. They have the head-to-head tiebreaker. I think that was a deflating home loss, and now you got to get up off the mat, go to Gainesville to take on a good Gators team and a Gators team that has been very good at home. I really like the spot here for Florida. I also like the way that Florida has played over the last 6 weeks since January 22nd. So this last 6 weeks and a couple days, Florida is number 15 nationally per Bart Torvik. Alabama right behind them at number 16. So these two teams essentially over the last 6 weeks have been about equal. Give me Florida at home in Gainesville on the money line. And then the last game that I'm betting tonight is going to be Wake Forest minus 13.5 against Georgia Tech. Wake Forest is, this is a buy low spot on Wake Forest. After getting a huge home win against Duke, they've dropped back-to-back games against Notre Dame and Virginia Tech, putting them once again back on the bubble. They cannot lose this game. The Deeks cannot lose to Georgia Tech in this one, or they can effectively kiss their NCAA tournament hopes goodbye. I don't expect them to. I expect them to play very well because Wake Forest has been fantastic at home this season. Like so many teams in the country, it's a night and day difference between home and on the road. Wake Forest 15-0 at home, the number 13 adjusted offensive efficiency per BartTorvik.com. So they have been a very impressive home team this year. They've also been very impressive at home against the mid to bottom tier of the ACC. I talked about it a few weeks ago on the show, but they have really moved their net numbers up by blowing out teams that are middle of the pack to bottom of the pack in that league. A few weeks ago, they beat Pitt 91-58. A couple weeks before that, on the road, they beat this very same Georgia Tech team 80-51. So all of those factors combined, Wake Forest has got to have it. They're coming off a few brutal losses. It's a buy low spot for me. This is a team that's been great at home. This is a team that's been great at blowing out middle of the tier to bottom of the middle of the pack to bottom of the pack teams, especially at home. Give me Wake minus 13.5. And then let's quickly move on to the Wednesday slate. No lines out for those yet, but some really big games, two huge games that we got to talk about. Number 4, Tennessee goes to Columbia. They're going to take on the number 17 South Carolina Gamecocks in a game that is going to have major implications when it comes to the top of the SEC. Tennessee 13-3 in the league. Alabama and South Carolina tied at 12-4 in the league. South Carolina with a win can even things up in the league with Tennessee. Would put both at 13-4. And what a year it's been for a South Carolina team that was picked dead last in the conference in Lamont Paris's second year in Columbia. This is a team that has been playing great. This is a team that's on a 3-game win streak, most recently picking up a big home win over Florida. This should be a very fun one. Two good defensive teams. I talked about Dalton Kinect for Tennessee a ton at the top of the show. This is a chance for him to really cement himself as SEC Player of the Year, picking up a win that would assure Tennessee of at least a share of the SEC title. It would give them a 1-game lead over Alabama with one to play pending their result against Florida tonight, and a 2-game lead over South Carolina with two to play. If Alabama were to lose to Florida tonight, as I'm betting to happen, a win tomorrow night in Columbia would give Tennessee the outright SEC regular season championship. So that's the game of the night for me on Wednesday night. The game of the night, the game that would have been the game of the night for me, was gonna be number 2 UConn at number 8 Marquette, but Tyler Kolek, Marquette's star point guard, is going to miss the rest of the regular season after suffering an oblique injury. That is a huge loss for Marquette, and you hate it because Marquette looked like a team that was really rounding into form that could potentially compete for a national championship, and now You lose an All-American like Kolek. You lose your point guard. It's a huge loss. It might be too much to overcome for them. Especially when you think about a national championship or a Final Four run. Probably the right thing to do to just hold him out, even if he could go, and try to make sure he's healthy for the Big East tournament and the NCAA tournament. According to the latest reporting I've seen, he's going to be reevaluated before the Big East tournament. So this game loses a little bit of its luster on Wednesday night, but that will be the other one that I'm keeping an eye on. I will post all of my Wednesday bets on Twitter, so make sure you follow me at Gorg on Sports. Enjoy the games this week, everybody. And until next time, keep the grill hot and the cooler cold.
The South Dakota Stories, Volume 7. My trip to South Dakota was the best summer ever. Now I don't need to go to Mars because I've been to the Badlands. And I caught a bigger walleye than Dad when we went to the Missouri River. Then I rode my bike through these huge rocks called needles. Ooh, I also saw my first herd of bison, even a fuzzy furry baby one. I can't wait to go back and see more. There's so much South Dakota, so little time.
Hi, Tom Baudette here with Joe. Not a guy named Joe, just a cup of Joe. To tell you, Studio 6 is a great place to stay if you have to stay a long time, like 2 weeks or 3 weeks or 4 or 6 or 7 weeks. And they have lots of great stuff in the room, like a fridge and cooktops, microwaves, coffee makers, which is my favorite part. I'm on my fifth cup now. It's really good stuff. I take it with 2 creams and a sugar, but this last one I tried 3 creams. Yeah, I like coffee. I'm Tom Baudette for Studio 6, where you get more on your room for less on your bill.
The living room is where you make life's most beautiful memories. But your sofa shouldn't be the one remembering them. The new life-resistant, high-performance furniture collection from Ashley is designed to withstand all the spills, slip-ups, and muddy paws that come with the best parts of life. Ashley high-performance sofas and recliners are soft, on-trend, and easy to clean. Shop the high-performance furniture in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.